Welcome back to the MCP. My name is Rick Alexander. Just a couple of housekeeping items this week. Number one is I've got the first Clarity Academy workshop of the year kicking off on March 14th and 15th in Denver, Colorado. If you are interested in getting a little more clarity about who you really are, what you want out of your life, and you want to take a two-day deep dive into self-awareness, and this would be a great place for you to do that. I've got a link to sign up in my Instagram bio, or you could just send me a DM at @RickAlexander_, and we can jump on a call or shoot some stuff back and forth, and we could just see if this is a good fit for you or not. Second order of business, the long-awaited, at least long-awaited for me, my second book, Ambitious Heroes and Heartache, is now officially out for pre-order on Amazon, Kindle only. The hard copy will go for sale this week, and of course, you know, I'll tell you about it when it does. But if you do want to pick up a copy of this book, it would mean the world to me if you would buy it and pre-order, just because it helps with the ranking of the book and all of that. So the book actually goes out on April 1st. If you do pre-order it, you will not be charged until the book actually gets sent out to you. Today, I want to talk about courage, flexibility, and potential, and their associated nuances, sort of the nuances that make the message. Because I think when you're listening to the self-help / make your life better industry, and definitely with the motivational industry, it's super easy to miss nuance in someone's message. We hear something, some kind of narrative, and then we tend to look over the subtle details. Sometimes, even subtle details that actually change the point of the message. This actually happens for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're always looking out into the world to confirm our own beliefs. It's sort of a byproduct of the insecurities that come attached to our condition. When other people think what we think, it gives us a sense of safety. And since our mind isn't always an accurate lens to view reality through, because we have cognitive biases and all these other aspects of our psychology, we tend to look for things around us that confirm our own opinions and give us that sense of safety. One of the ways we do that is by hearing what we want to hear. Another way of saying, instead of doing the intellectual work that would stretch your worldview, you chose to hear the part of the message that confirmed your own. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this happens most of the time or even that it happens often. I'm just saying it's definitely a tripwire worth looking out for on your journey toward truth or growth or whatever you're after. The second reason we miss someone's message is simply because our own baggage just happens to be a little too much sometimes, and it's in our way. We repress all kinds of things as we move through our lives. We read situations wrong when we're young, or we get exposed to too much life too fast, and we never learned how to process it all. All kinds of things affect us for all kinds of reasons that we don't always understand, but have learned to overlook. Point is, I know it can be easy to hear the various messages in this industry and think that the core theme is always something along the lines of telling you that you just need to go out there and fulfill your potential, or telling you that you need to wake up and kick ass and love yourself doing it. And it gets a bit overmotivating after a while, to the point where what once may have motivated or moved you into action now has just fallen into the background noise of your life. Even trying your hardest to be your best can turn into a lifeless routine if you let it. In a way, our lives have to fall into habits. The human psyche falls apart pretty quickly without routine. Well, at least mine seems to. But every great thing in this life has an evil twin, a devil to its god or a shadow to its light. And so the shadow of habits, though we need them to accomplish remarkable things in life, can pretty quickly become something that zaps our soul, especially if we're not in the habit of elevating the mundane. See, if you overlook things and don't appreciate the small parts of your life, like that first sip of coffee in the morning, or the way your partner laughs at dumb things you also find funny, or showing gratitude for the ability to have a movement practice, if you don't prioritize appreciating those kinds of things, and you're always waiting for the awe-inspiring to appreciate it, then your daily habits or routines will just grind down your resolve after a while. It takes time to tune into them, but it's usually the smallest things, or dare I say, the little things, that actually makes your life worth living once you learn to appreciate them. And I know that sometimes that very obvious rhetoric can come off as a bit insulting, because it's not like we don't all know these basic things. We know we need to be in the moment. We know we should appreciate things more and live every day like it's our last. I know you get up and do your best, and some days your intentions are enough and things go right. And some days life just gets tough and you're just trying to get through the day. Sometimes it gets tough with trauma, and it can just as easily get tough with monotony. And so today, in light of all that, I wanted to take this opportunity and, as best as I can, clarify some of the nuances in my message that seem to fall into alignment with a lot of the industry. The first major theme that you might hear in my message and tend to overlook are the basic lines about encouragement. But to the degree that I cheerlead and don't actually instill courage, is to the degree that my message falls short of its aim. Courage is the first easy one to mention because it basically sits in the Personal Development Hall of Fame, as everyone from Tony Robbins to The Wizard of Oz has been preaching the importance of courage. But as I began to craft the things I wanted to talk about, I realized that it's an often mentioned topic for good reason. See, based on the world I've seen, aspiring to a courageous life is non-negotiable. It is the antidote to the main barrier that will hold you back from getting things you want in life. And it's not like we don't all know that. Yet somewhere in our DNA, there seems to be this code that tells us to wait it out. Like if we wait, one day we'll wake up unafraid and ready to pursue the thing that's been in our hearts for years. But that's actually not true at all. Fear tends to get bigger, actually. It's like your inbox. You have to face it, and every day you don't, it's just going to grow. It's never going to get easier. So technically speaking, courage is a requirement if you want greater freedom in your life and not more restriction. But another line of code that seems to be baked into our DNA is the idea that courage is based on what you have done and not what you're doing right now. And I believe that's a thought that we have often, and like many of our repeating thoughts, if we start prying into them, we see they're ironically not what we thought. And so what I mean when I say our courage is not based on what we've done is that we often tell ourselves a story about how we've been in the past, and then we use that to play small now. This is my go-to if I really want to sabotage myself or keep myself small. We feel stuck because we aren't capable, but courage doesn't keep track of anything from moment to moment. It's not based on who you were in the past whatsoever. It's something we set as a virtue or a North Star. We aspire to it in all of our interactions, and when we fall short, we just adjust our aim for next time. And we do that as many times as it takes, and we keep showing up, and we keep putting in the work to truly aspire to a courageous existence, because in a world like ours, courage gives you what you need to make it enjoyable. When you lose the wind in your sails, you don't abandon ship. You just adjust sails, and over time you learn to not make a big thing about it. Because no matter what happened last, we're always being thrust into something new. There's always another chance to show up better, and that's not less true because you've fallen short in the past. If you drop your story about who you are, you can give yourself a blank canvas from which to begin again, to show up in this moment as a new you, with as much courage as you can muster. You give yourself the chance to make yourself proud, and as you do that, you find that you get into the momentum of it, and over time, it becomes easier. While again, I recognize there's nothing groundbreaking about courage, it becomes insightful when you begin to take ownership over what's worth being courageous for. We've all been taught things that don't feel true for us. We were all given narratives and storylines from our family that aren't ours to carry. We all feel the pressure to live up to who our caretakers want us to be. But at some point, the courage actually becomes to put those things down and to learn to live according to your own constitution. Not because everything will work out if you do, but because that seems to be the way in which we flourish the most. Every disruptive business idea came from people that didn't accept what they were given, but saw a new way. It often does disrupt our lives in much the same way if we start prioritizing our own internal guidance system. But over time, that disruption stables out, and what you'll find is a lot more meaning and fulfillment in your life. And so next to courage, I do believe that learning to increase our psychological flexibility is the second staple in my message. The overlooked or simplified message would sound like me just telling you to have an open mind, that new possibilities won't exist if you're too closed off to see them. But a high level of psychological flexibility is actually just having the ability to pivot through life with grace. The nuance in this message becomes apparent when you have an honest conversation with yourself about what being able to pivot through life with grace would actually require of you. See, the first thing it requires is that you work through any kind of lingering cynicism or anger toward life. If you've already decided that things are wrong, whether you feel that stance is justified or not, then you're going to find it's hard to stay positive when life is throwing unexpected events at you, and you, by your own volition, tune into what's wrong about all of them. You can see how cynicism paints you into a corner in that way. It's also going to require that you learn to let go. When you allow your intentions to become expectations, you begin to believe that you know best and that life should unfold based on your desires. Obviously, life is going to unfold however it was going to, with or without your opinions. And so really, you can choose to cling to your idea of how life should be, or you can stay open to what life is actually presenting you with. One of the central themes that's worked its way into my message is not that you should be open-minded for the sake of it. It's actually because many of the unexpected things in life that cause us so much pain actually turn out to be the best thing for us. That's certainly been true in my life when I've been through breakups that were particularly rough or when I was passed up for a job that I wanted. And so basically, I've observed that we're so unaware of what is good for us over any length of time. And because there are so many variables that could unfold, being able to pivot in life is part of my message because without it, over time, the various shitstorms that we find ourselves going through quite honestly feel like they're victimizing us. It can begin to feel like life is against you, which actually isn't true at all. To me, it's important that we position ourselves in a way that allows us to tap into the fluidity of life. When we learn to flow as life flows, we find that our lives take on a certain ease, that we're not stuck forcing things all the time. Although I should mention, staying in that place of flow actually takes quite a bit of work. In order to do it fully, you really have to let your ideas and beliefs die from time to time. You'll find that many of your beliefs are rigid, and over time, as you learn more about the world, if you don't update your model of it, you'll find the antithesis of flow. Well, actually, just a lot of unnecessary friction. The third part of my message is one of potential. You've probably heard me say before that potential is endless as far as we know. And this is because potential is an extension of capability. And so as you become more capable in life, you find yourself dealing with a larger pool of potentialities for what you could do with your life. Part of my message around potential, however, is not just that I think we should do our best to engage with the world in a way that helps us live up to our own, but actually that almost all of us feel the intrinsic urge to do so anyway. I know that because we almost all have a version of ourselves that we fall short of. That version of you is your realized potential. Because you didn't live up to it, you have something to judge yourself off of. Our greatest potential is the judge that we use to beat ourselves up when we're not living in alignment with what we want or when we make decisions that we aren't proud of. I use that internal knowing as a bit of proof about our compulsion to live up to our potential in life. But the nuance in my message is that if that's what we truly want, we have to learn to go about getting it in new ways. Self-deprecation and self-loathing often help you get things in the interim as they motivate you to change, but over the long term, you'll find that it puts a ceiling on your potential. The popular narrative about hustle that's often propagated in the world today is that it's king when it comes to achieving things. My nuanced message is that ambition is a good engine, but it's a crappy driver. If you let it direct your actions, you'll find yourself going after things that don't feel authentic. Over time, you'll keep going after more and more as you enter the hedonic treadmill, always watching your level of satisfaction sink back to where it was. And I actually believe that a lot of the message we see about hustle and potential today is quite nuanced. We just rarely happen to take the time to read the nuance. The point here is that we have to be willing to question our own beliefs and what our mind is telling us. We have to be willing to think deeper when needed and just as easily switch to being able to intuit what is right for us. This is why the good on paper answer almost always leaves us wanting more in life. We have to know when to push. The nuance in that message is that we have to know just as easily when to pause and just reflect or take it all in before judgment. But look, the thing that makes the written and spoken word so powerful, in my opinion, isn't that we can just talk about, organize, and make sense of life. It's actually the recognition of yourself in the space between those words. I do believe that we see what we're ready for, and as we're ready for more of anything, whether that's truth, growth, or whatever, if we begin to tune into it, we'll find it. It might not be on our timeline. That's a result of expectations, but this life is happening for you, and so for the most part, you're going to create the reality you believe in and think you deserve. Not in actions, because it's all going to unfold in the way it's going to anyway, but in how you feel about it. And because nothing you could do in this life is going to have any kind of lasting material permanence, it's worth realizing that how you feel about what you do is actually far more important than what you do. A realization the ego rarely wants to accept. We typically feel like if we can just get where we're going, our identity and safety will be assured. The reason they won't is because we aren't going anywhere. We're here now. You might feel all of these imperatives to fit in or to make other people proud, but at the end of it all, if you are proud of the world you've created for yourself and for others, that's what's going to motivate you to keep waking up and aiming at better. I can't say it definitely, but one thing I've noticed in my life is that if I make it a priority to be good for the world, it actually increases the amount of value that I place on my own life. It's like meaning is the gift you're given for providing that to others. I'm driven by an insight I had when I was young and grieving the loss of a close friend. I realized in that moment that all we actually have in this life is each other. Without that, not one single material object has any value whatsoever. The problem is, we're all so caught in our own heads, we can't be good for each other because we can't be good for ourselves. But through a commitment to being courageous enough to follow our own path, and through being open enough to pivot around the obstacles that we find once we do, we'll find the opportunities that are presented by our potential. I love you guys. Hope you have an amazing Monday. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.